just say well done to Rowena and help us and the children as well. You know, it's not easy standing up here. I thought the children especially, sorry, but the children especially were particularly brave, weren't they? They deserve a round of applause. I was very impressed by the competitive spirit in Blockbusters as well. Did you see the ruthless approach of some of the contestants? And Jake, I'm proud of you, son. I thought you were going to bottle it and let Elena off easy. Well done, son. Well, next week in the morning service, we're going to be looking in more depth, really, at how so many people missed that first Christmas. Because of we've been hearing today, they just didn't really know who Jesus really was, who he is. They didn't appreciate what was really happening when he was born. But you know, the same is really true today, isn't it? I wonder if there's anybody here like that. Christmas? Well, it's just for the kids. It's just an excuse for parties and presents and food. It's a commercial event. It's a rip-off. I mean, you can get some great deals on Black Friday. You know, that's okay. But really, it's a commercial event. And there are some good series on the television as well. But that's all there is to it. If that is you, I have to tell you, you're really missing out. The food, the presents, the parties, the decorations, even those precious family times. These are some of the things that happen at Christmas. And some of them can be very good. But they're not what it's really all about. The real meaning of Christmas is much deeper. It's much richer. It's much better. And it is far more joyful for those who know the truth about Jesus, whose birth we celebrate. You've all heard of Jesus, I'm sure. But I just want to ask you this morning, who is he to you? I love hearing stories of how when people look into who Jesus really is, that they're so surprised at what they find. So surprised at who they find. Because they find he's so much more than just a good man. So much more than just a prophet. More than just a teacher. And he's certainly not the weak and effeminate figure, the irrelevant figure that so many today mistake him for. He's God the Son. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. And as we've seen and sung this morning, he was a surprise to many of the people around at the time of his first coming, at his birth. He was expected. Excuse me. Scripture, the Bible had clearly prophesied or foretold his birth. But many people at the time really wanted a powerful earthly king who would come along and reign in splendor and in glory. He'd overthrow the hated Romans who were ruling the land at that time. He'd restore the nation to greatness and prosperity. But when the time for Jesus came, predicted over 500 years early to that very generation that Jesus was born in, That's in Daniel chapter 9, by the way. As we've heard, he just wasn't what they expected. He was born in a stable, not the palace. He was laid in a manger, an animal's feeding trough. Think about that. It looks cute on our Christmas cards, doesn't it? It was an animal's feeding trough, not a bed. His parents were humble and clearly of limited means. They weren't royalty. His first recorded visitors were the shepherds we just heard about, very much to the bottom end of society in those days. They weren't kings or queens, and they were religiously unclean to many Jews at the time as well. The nature of their work made them like that. And you know, he continued to surprise people throughout his whole life. He didn't sweep the Romans from power as they'd so hoped he would. In fact, he and his parents became refugees to escape the murderous King Herod, a Roman puppet king, well known for his slaughter of the innocent children around Bethlehem when he was seeking for Jesus to try and kill him. Jesus learned a trade. He became a carpenter, or a tecton, actually, to be more accurate, which is really a little bit different. His public ministry only lasted for 3 years before, in the biggest surprise of all, he was crucified between two criminals, killed and laid to rest in somebody else's tomb. It just wasn't what they expected. It certainly wasn't what they wanted. He was supposed to win. He was supposed to sit on the throne and make everything all right again for God's people. But in fact, he had succeeded in his mission. He'd come to die for us. We have all sinned. We've all done things that are wrong in the sight of God. And if we're being honest, we've even failed to live up to our own standards sometimes, haven't we? Even if we've become expert in justifying occasional lapses as we see them. You know, the Bible tells us that as well as being full of love, God is also holy and just. And it tells us that the punishment for sin is death, physical and eternal. It's hell. Romans 6:23 and other verses in the Bible make that abundantly clear. And that's what we all deserve. But Jesus came to pay the price for all of our sins. He took the death that we earned and made it his own. He took our punishment for us. We are saved from hell and assured of heaven because the price of our sin is paid for by Jesus. That's why he came as he did. Why he lived as he did. He was born to die for us, to take our punishment. We are born and die. He was born to die. You see, God couldn't just ignore our sins. That would be unjust. Do you ever get angry when you read in the papers or hear on the TV about a judge who's given a slap on the wrist to somebody who's committed a serious offence? We know instinctively it is unjust. So for God to be just, the price had to be paid. And Jesus paid it for us. In full, once and for all. And he was the only one who could do so. Because a perfect God justly demands a perfect sacrifice. And Jesus was the only perfect man who ever lived. He never sinned. He was always pleasing to God the Father in all he said, all he did, all he thought, in all he was. But it didn't stop there. 3 days later, he rose from the dead, showing his sacrifice had been accepted by God. And if we believe that, if we believe that Jesus is indeed the Lord and the Saviour he claimed to be, and accept him as such, knowing that he died to pay the price for our sins, then we are justly forgiven. God's justice is satisfied, and we are therefore declared not guilty, and we can be assured of heaven, and know his blessings here and now as well. You see, there is a second part to that verse I mentioned earlier, Romans 6:23. It says this in full. For the wages of sin is death. That's the bad news. But then the good news. But the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Jesus did something for us that we could never do for ourselves. And that's why Christmas is really such a big deal. The sinless Son of God, born of the Virgin Mary, lived amongst us, walked amongst us, died for us. He came to give eternal life to those who believe in him as Lord and Saviour, and only to those who believe in him. Again, none of us can ever be good enough to earn heaven. It isn't in us. It has to be accepted as a free gift from God. But the story doesn't end there. He's going to come back. And the Bible actually says far more about his second coming to earth than it does about that first coming that we're celebrating now at Christmas. During his first coming, he showed some glimpses of his power and authority. He performed miracles. He raised the dead. He calmed the sea and much, much more besides. When he comes next time, it will be different. And once again, it will be a surprise to many. The one they've written off as a figment of imagination, as a false messiah, as a weakling, or as just a good man and teacher, will prove to reign magnificently in splendor. He will prove to be the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This time he will come in power and glory, in majesty and in might. Those of us who know him, aren't the times when we can hardly wait for that day? When we see the state of the world around us. When we see the state of ourselves in the light of a holy God. Don't we look forward to that day when all will be made as it should be. We want you to be amongst us. Don't be counted amongst his enemies. Don't be like those people who were so surprised at his first coming, or like those who will be terrified at his second. Be like the shepherds. Luke chapter 2 tells us that they left the sheep behind and hurried off to find Jesus. And when they found him, they glorified and praised God for all the things they had seen and heard. And be like the wise men who would visit later. I love the old bumper sticker I saw years ago that said, "The wise men sought Jesus, hyphen, they still do." And women as well, of course. Jesus is our surprising King of Kings. I hope that's kind of whet your appetite. Come back next week if you're able to. If you can't, then listen online via our website. All our sermons are recorded there. Come back and learn how so many people missed his first coming, that first Christmas. Learn how you can avoid making the same mistake, and how you can make this Christmas the best Christmas you have ever had, no matter your age, no matter what has gone before. We commend our Saviour to you, a surprising, magnificent King of Kings and Lord of Lords. If you want to know more, speak to one of us after the service. Make use of the Connect Corner. We'll gladly answer your questions there. But do come back next week if you're able to do so.